above is the Yom Avelos kind of dynamic. But again, Kol HaMitzvos HaNogos Bavel Nogos B'Tisha B'Av, we already have seen the perspective of the tour that this is limited to Los Ases as opposed to the Ases, like Atifas HaRosh and Kviyas HaMita. So that will be very significant for us going forward in this conversation. And it'll be kind of a two-day conversation, because one of them is going to be related to sleeping, and then the related conversation about sitting. And this is all continuing on with the theme of Chatzos that we explored in terms of Nachem, and that we explored with respect to Tfilin as well, as one of a number of possible distinctions when it comes to Tfilin and Talis Gadol, is to look at Mincha as the point of demarcation. We also saw Tfilin Shel Rosh and Tfilin Shel Yad in the Rambam, B'Shem Miktas Chachamim, as another possibility. So here we are. This is the Mechaber. Yesh Mishanoeg Lishcha B'Leil Tisha B'Av Muta La'aretz U'Mesim Even Tachas Rosho. Okay, so, maximum level of a sense of reducing hana, but mesim even tachas rosho, almost actively, v'chayit sa'ar tichya kind of an approach. And that's something that we've circled around a lot, is, are you really required to be mitza'ar yourself to experience physical tsar, or is it just a matter of, not having hana? So let's take a look at the language of the Rama. V'yesh l'adam litzdar b'inyan mishkavo b'leil tisha b'av, shim raga lishkav b'beiz karim, lo yishkav kim be'achad, v'yesh b'nei adam esim min even tachas m'rash oseyim, zeich l'ma shenemar, v'aykach mi'avnei ha'makom, shera ha'churban. That Yaakov in his sojourn, p'shan the pasuk is beis el, but again the Chazal, the Gemara in Chulin on Sadi Aleph, assume that we're talking about what would be eventually the base kale, namely Yerushalayim, Makom Shelispalu Bo Avosai, the entire question of Kvitzas Hadrachim, the Gemara, the Ramban, Mihu Ubro Shenon Yecholus Lehit Star, but people who should not be mitzar themselves because there are greater halachic values at stake, like Vachai Bahem and even the Vlad or the Ubar, Inan Chayavos Bechol Eile, they're not required to do so. We might even go further than that, Inan Rishaos. Inan mutaros v'yimaradam michvodo mi'anaso b'tishabav b'chol ma'ash efshar. So what happens here over the course of the Rama is a subtle but I think very important shift in terms of the terminology, the halachic terminology that gets at the core issue. So the Rama, Avi, good to see you. The Rama starts out Shimi by talking about what, and then by the end he's talking about something else. There, it's easy to conflate the two, but they really are different in practice.
Talking about tsar, but by then he's talking about lack of kavod.
Exactly. Reducing hana and kavod. And that reduction, ilan, what does that remind us of? Where the Rama basically saying, look, if you're used to two pillows, you have one pillow. I don't know if you're used to the posturpedic mattress, you go down to the ceiling. I don't know if it's actually going down. I don't want to get a libel suit. But what does that remind us of, ilan?
Second.
Exactly right. So the Gra was very sensitive to that, Baruch Shekivanta. Right, v'yesh l'adam v'yimach afesuta mafsekes amru yimai. That this is somehow a broader motif, of Tisha B'Av. It's not really limited to the dinim of Shchivas Halayla, but it's something that you see across the board, and that makes it even more compelling, right? If you see it, popping up in different areas, just like the whole idea of the late afternoon of Tisha B'Av having a different identity. The more areas in which you can substantiate that premise, the stronger it is, right? So this idea of being mimma'it, the more disparate phenomenon we can observe it in, such as Suda Mavsekas and Shchivas Alayla, the more sound, the postulate really is. So here, what the Gaon is trying to argue is that this is a well-established, broader motif of the halachos of Tisha B'Av and not an isolated one. So just to review the tour, that's particularly Nogaya, to this issue, we've seen it before. Tisha B'Av inochay v'chvias hamitav lo b'ativ asaroshe noagos v'avelos adetanya komitzos hanoagos b'avel noagos b'tisha B'Av. We still hear Shimi's excellent tayara ringing in our ears. Ha olinian mitzos lo sase anoagos b'avel tanya. V'olinian mitzos sase sheb'avel kigon kvias hamitav v'ativ asarosh lo. V'insar chlomer kriya delese b'chal mitzos anoagos b'avel. That's already a different category. K'edamina navelos l'chod u'kriya Lachud really belongs in its own separate category. So certainly Kriya, which you could have conceptualized as a mitzvah saseya of Avelos, you're not going to
impose in Tisha B'Av, because even the mitzvos asei of Avelos aren't part of that Tisha B'Av experience, according to the Torah, based on the Ramban and Torah's Adam. So certainly, you know, it's going to be, Kriya is one step further out, you know, on the spectrum, because that's not even part of the mitzvos asei of Avelos. So one of the ways of getting at this issue of asei versus los asei is to bring it back to the chiluk that Shimi just mentioned. Namely what? Ben Sion. Can you take the chiluk that Shimi just used and say, maybe this is the pshat and the Rishonim or mechalik between ase and los ase. The los ases of Avelos basically prohibit...
I would say that with Sa'er, more of an ase type thing.
Exactly.
Miyot is more of a los ase.
Exactly. So that would be the relevant way of trying to classify this distinction. It was like some random, you know, ase versus los ase, like what's that all about? So you might say, okay, so the ases of Avelos, which are supposed to actually create some kind of an active tsar, those we don't require on Tisha B'Av. But the los ases, which are, you know, issues of hanoah, rechitza, sicha, nilas asandal, tashmish hamita, even Talmud Torah in that regard, or socialization, shela shalom, these are all forms that are enjoyable. Hopefully a person is not asocial and they enjoy human interaction, right? We're even being told right now, repeatedly about, how it's pikuach nefesh, and in some cases it is, in some cases I think, it can be overstated a little bit, in terms of the social, emotional welfare piece of it. It's a very important topic and needs to be handled with a lot of balance. But I think this perspective in the Rishonim, the Aseh versus Los Aseh, Ben Sion, you're absolutely right, could be conceptualized as a matter of tsar, versus actively seeking out Hana. So that transition in the Ramah itself between a person being mitzaer es atzmam versus simply reducing Hana and Kavod, I think is a very significant halachic distinction. And I think that's something that we could all relate to intuitively, right? Avi, you could say that, there are certain times where it would be inappropriate, even crass, for a person to enjoy themselves, but we don't say that a person, should actively be in pain, right? There's a very limited, space for, subjecting oneself to pain in halacha. There's Yom Kippur, V'nisa Misnafsho Seichem. There's, Bris Milah, which, again, in some sense is, an outlier, the Tzar Diyanuka. I think that's a fascinating theme, but it's pretty limited in terms of its scope. Refraining from various Hanos is a much broader canvas to look at, and even there, we know that there's, an entire literature, Nikra Chote, Nikra Kadosh, things that we've discussed at, great, great length, but there's clearly a chiluk to be drawn between, being mitzayer oneself and simply reducing one's hana. Okay, Beis Yosef, let's put it on the ledger. Avi, why don't you do the honors? So Tisha B'Av Chai v'Chris Hazamita Lo B'Yativ HaSaroshai K'damino Hasam Avelos L'Chodekri L'Chod Ken Kasav HaRamban B'Sefer Torah So Adam. The Rush and the Ran have this as well. Okay, right after the ellipses.
Kasvu HaKolbo HaRush Me'Avira
Right. Okay, so it's really important as you go to the primary literature that underlies this Ramah, and what you find is, a very, fascinating observation, I think, by the Kolbo in the name of the Rashi Me'Avira. The Ramah simply said, V'yesh l'adam litzar b'inyan meshkavo b'leil Tisha B'Av. And we were wondering, really tsar, and then by the time you get to the Ramah, it seems much more moderate. So what do we find out, Avi, from the Beis Yosef? What's the relevant discovery, for our purposes?
That it's only being machmir
al atzmah. Oh, okay, so that was a chumrah. It was a very clear chumrah. And we talk about a chumrah, when something is a chumrah, by definition means it's not required. So sometimes there can be a chumrah in terms of a person, a very particular application. So this person says, you know, it's 2 kizesim, and the other one says it's 3 kizesim. It's a quantitative issue. Ephraim, explain how this might be a qualitative chumrah. This might be...
Meaning 2 verse 3 kizesim isn't because they disagree about the... I guess what you're saying is that here the chumrah is saying it's an entirely different category of actions.
Right, and it might be. And what might that category be? Okay, I think that's a possibility. Okay, and here you might even appeal, Ephraim, back to the Yaakov imagery as part of this rubric, because what we know about that entire episode, how is it codified in halacha? Think about Tosfos at the beginning of Chulin. Vaydar Yaakov Neder Lemor. We've spoken about extensively in terms of Mayriv, Vayifka B'Makom. Ilan?
It was only because it was like a time of extenuating circumstances.
Eis Tzara Shiny. The entire imagery is one of an Eis Tzara, right? Otherwise, how could Yaakov have taken a Neder? V'chisech Dalindor Lo Yevechachei. Must have been an Eis Tzara, right? That's part of the notion of Ma'ariv Rishus that we, you know, discussed, that you can't really codify a tefillah, you know, that's rooted in existential crisis. You know, Yikruvu Yimei Evel Aviv, Argos Yaakov Achi, was a sort of Democles was hanging over him. So the idea of, you know, really, you know, going to an extreme, whether it's Linyan Darim, whether it's Linyan Tefillah, whether it's Linyan Tzar, because we sense, great distress. Ma ra'a Beis HaMikdash ra'a, ma ra'a Churban ra'a, vayikach me'avnei ha'makom vayasem rasho sav. So the notion of yesh lehitztayer, and even this, you know, I don't know anybody who does this, but literally to sleep instead of on a pillow on a rock, I'm not even sure if it's safe. So, don't try it at home unless you've spoken to your neurologist about... whether or not this is a good idea. They might say, you know, that they haven't dealt with the issue before. They're not sure what the literature is on the subject. Long-term data. He talked to some of the good folks over at the NFL about whether this is, this is a recommended practice or not. But be that as it may, it sounds to me like the chumrah here is to move from... reducing or even completely abnegating hanoos and moving into the realm of being mitzaer oneself. And I think that's a fascinating transition, very subtle, but a potentially fascinating transition, you know, in the halacha. Then we said, but you know, look, there have to be internal halachic limits on this, because let's say that chumrah is an asi lidei kula in a much more fundamental area, like the ubros, right? Ubros, it'd be, you know, flat out dangerous for them to do this. So the Aruch HaShulchan, it seems to me, really picked up on this theme, and then Yenison will circle right back to you. But Eitan, you want to take the Aruch HaShulchan? V'av pishen noag in b'kviya samita, mikol makom, well, more on this tomorrow, minagenu leishev al aretz, samach laretz, lo al asafsal, ad chatzos hayom, a little teaser.
Mihu achaloshim vahubaros shein bicholasan litzdayer lo yaasu kolele ach bchal yimat adam mechvado hanaso b'tishavav b'chol ma'adav.
So there you go, Eitan. So right, what's universal is everybody should do their best, you know, to reduce the normal kavod or hanos that they're used to. That should be the overall theme of the day. And a person should not experience tanug on Tisha B'Av. It would be entirely inappropriate. But when it comes to the question of being mitzar oneself, you know, we have to weigh that, you know, against other much more important values like human life itself. So a sakanas havlad, and what was the Aruch HaShulchan's halachic expansion to move from, you know, recognized category of ubros to a very logical, I'm not saying it was like, you know, the world's biggest chiddush, but let's just document it. Akiva, he says it's not just the ubros, but Avi? Yeah, people who are unwell, you know, people who are infirm. You know, people of a certain age, or people who have, you know, what they would have called a weaker constitution. You know, so you don't want to, you know, be endangering people. When you start going down the road of tsar, you know, we gotta know when to say when, right? You know, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan is really reflecting here, you know, lehalacha. So he says, I'm totally on board with this idea of people neutralizing hanos and kavod, but in terms of tsar, to the extent that we're going to do that, local adam, right? Not everybody can do this. And not only that, it's not a good idea for many people, not just the ubros, but you see a very natural expansion to ubros and chalushos, you know, and there's, you know, countervailing themes here, because this, none of this is actually required. You're not required to have a state of physical tsar. Now, psychic tsar, that's a different issue, you know, altogether. Psychic tsar, for sure, is at the core of the day, and we'll get to that in a second. But just picking up on this theme of, you know, rejecting hanaos, tanugos, you know, kvodos, kind of, you know, a thing which everybody seems to be in agreement about. This is an important Mishnah Brura on the topic, a part of a broader theme in the Chavetz Chaim's literature. Ben Sion, you want to take this one? So the Mishnah Brura says, Michvodo me'anaso. So he says, you know, and I think everybody, you know, at Ari Yeshiva will agree, right? I don't know if this is officially in the student handbook, but it might be. Last chain. Karin Reicherin. Okay. Filu b'dalad samos, kol shekin b'tishabav, hechmir mod. Okay, so in a word, you know, what's the Mishnah Berurah talking about? Yenison? Smoking, yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of, you know, what the Reicherin were. Is that a jewel or something of that nature? Not really sure. I guess that's a good thing. The Chavetz Chaim happened to be a very vocal opponent of, you know, smoking cessation. He was ahead of his time in that regard. In the RCA halachic position in 2006, taking, you know, claim asserting that smoking was categorically osur, they actually drew very heavily on the Chavetz Chaim's writings on the topic. You know, the famous Tshuva of Moshe, you know, Shomer Psoim Hashem, they took a position that was more machmer than that. But, you know, you basically see the Mishnah Berurah saying, I think it's inappropriate in any tainus to have this kind of tainug. Tisha B'Av Kol Shekein, it's highly inappropriate. But what does he show sensitivity towards here? What kind of a person? Just a very fascinating thing in terms of the, you know, what he understood. Eitan?
An addict?
Yeah, exactly. Addiction. Now, how does this tie into the lundus that we... Well, what's the justification? So what? You're an addict. Nachi? Well, why do we care? Why is that particularly relevant makar for us today?
Because the stage of addict stopping from a kumshar. It's not even...
Exactly. Perfect, Nachi, right? At that point, it's not a hana. You're not doing it because you want to enjoy yourself. You're doing it because if you wouldn't do this, right, you'd be beside yourself. I mean, Rahman al-Itzlan is a terrible thing. Nobody wants to be that person. Right? So what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is, okay, you know, we're not going to torture people, but after Chatzos and Bitsina, don't impact the day. very, very fascinating thing is that the Chafetz Chaim seems to have understood exactly this point of where do you cross over from Tainug into Tsar. And apparently he, you know, had exposure to this and saw that people were Murgal Bioser. Eitan, you said it exactly right. They're addicted. So it's a matter of, you know, profound Tsar, a very sad thing. Now, let me just conclude, and then we'll give Yenis in the last word in this section here, you know, by noting something which I think is absolutely critical, and that is that, you know, none of this is meant to say that physical Tsar and psychic Tsar are the same thing. Psychically, if a person isn't in Tsar on Tisha B'Av, you know, that's like deeply troubling. So Menachem, you want to do the honors here? Right, so if a person could be on Tisha B'Av, which of course is not just a Yom Tainus, but a Yom Avelos and a Yom Aninos, and so much more, and you know, it's the subcategory of Avelos associated with Mitzorah, which we've tried to document rigorously throughout this entire Limud. So, you know, if a person is Eno Nichnas Bechlal Tsarasan, forget about Misana B'Tanisan, but in Nichnas Bechlal Tsarasan, psychically, that's terrible. Then what value is the Tainus altogether? Of course you have to feel the Tzara of Klal Yisrael. And by the way, you know, Halacha L'maisa, that's exactly the point for people who are not well enough to fast. This is the most common question I have. You know, there are plenty of people who can't fast, either for medical reasons or, you know, general medical reasons or, you know, pregnancy-related issues where there's complexity, you know, fundamentally. Ubros are Mechuyavos in Tisha B'Av, unlike the other Tzomos, where it's a matter of Minhag. But in Tisha B'Av, they're fundamentally Mechuyavos, even though they're, you know, anytime there's a Sakana Savlad, obviously, it's only Dinder Abanan. It's not like Yom Kippur. You know, you might not even have to resort to Shiurim. A huge discussion in its own right, but one of the most common questions I get for these, you know, few weeks is, you know, if I'm not fasting, what can I do? And I say, that's gufa. The question is exactly the question that needs to be asked, right? Because there is, you know, eno misane betanisan, but there's a separate issue of eno nichnas bechal tzarasan. So you always mention the Gemara, agra de tanisa tzidkasa, and the idea of, you know, not being misaneg and really avoiding, you know, activities that would in any way touch on that. It can't be a regular day, because then you'll be in three words in the Rambam. Which three words? Not a good three words here. In the Rambam, will you be? Yeah, that's definitely a correct answer. I was looking for another three, which I thought was even more oomph in this case, but I'd have to give full credit, not just the good old, you know, our yeshiva partial credit. But Shimi? Another full credit answer. Nivdal Me'adas Yisrael, right? There's a certain national experience that's going on. So psychic pain is a major part of that. The question is whether physical pain is required. So, you know, the Rash Me'avira and his, you know, Nihug reflected, you know, the psychic pain and manifests in a physical sense. It's not absolutely required, as we see here in the transition in the Ramah. It's certainly not for everybody, as the Aruch HaShulchan writes about, not safe for everybody to do. But you can understand the impulse. And we even tried to say, maybe gufa, that's the issue in terms of, you know, Avelis Yishana versus Avelis Chadash, or Avelis Hayachid versus Avelis Derabim, is, you know, these mitzvos asay, you know, that are on the books for an Avel, you know, no longer, you know, we never were going to apply to Tisha B'Av. Now I'll just make one final Hayara and then really turn it over to Yenison. Is what's really fascinating is in terms of the, you know, contemporary practice of Avelis, it really is striking that those assays are no longer practiced, right? Al Safam Yata, you know, Atifas Harosh, there is some notion of this. Some people, you know, Shechter has a minog to, you know, cover the eyes with the hat, but broadly speaking, it's not practiced, Atifas Harosh. How many, you know, Shiva houses have you been in where you saw the Avel had his head wrapped in a turban? You know, I don't think very many. You know, and Kriyas Hamita is no longer practiced. Now, whether that's for technical reasons or for more fundamental reasons, you know, Tsar has been largely removed from Avelos Hayachid, Avelos Chadash as well, but at least on the books, one could have, I think, looked at it that way. Okay, let's hold it up there.